Open your Bibles to Romans 3. Romans chapter 3, please. Verses 21 through 26 will be our text tonight. Romans 3, 21 through 26. We definitely need help, both men and ladies, anybody willing to help us get these song books and everything. We need to clear everything off these pews because not only is the are they going to be moved, but we're looking at also having the racks, carpet, cleaning out those racks and having little strips of carpet put down in those as well, just to help with keeping them clean and everything. Romans 3, 21 through 26. But now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed to demonstrate at the present time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Someone once said Romans is one of the most complex, demanding books in the whole Bible, and I agree. I know that Ezekiel, Daniel, the book of Revelation, they are very challenging in dealing with understanding those passages. But Romans is so deep and is filled with such incredible information to try to help us understand deep and profound principles. Someone once said, if you get Romans, God will get you. And I think that's a pretty profound statement itself. Because if you comprehend what is said, what Paul teaches us in the book of Romans, you're going to have a better grasp of God and an understanding of what God has done to save man than most people on the earth. You certainly will have a better grasp than those who don't get Romans. So I need you, as we begin our lesson tonight, to picture with me a department store. In the clothing section, specifically, near the dressing rooms, in this department store, very large, very chic department store. And we're near the dressing rooms. And there is this huge crowd of people in line to go into each of these dressing rooms. There's line after line, one for each dressing room. And these lines are filled with people, just filled with people. And then apart from the dressing rooms, over in a big crowd by themselves, and more people joining that crowd, is a huge crowd of people. Every person is in tan coveralls and a tan t-shirt. Each one is wearing white cotton socks and white canvas shoes. Every single one of them, every man and every woman. They are all dressed exactly alike. And can you picture that in your mind? You've got these huge lines over here going into the dressing rooms, and when they come out, that's what they're wearing. One man entered the dressing room in a Brooks Brothers business suit, dressed to the nines, and he comes out in this tan outfit. Another went in wearing boots and jeans. Another one goes in wearing a loincloth. One goes in dressed in flowered slacks and a silk shirt, and they all come out in these tan uniforms. And then a woman enters the changing area in an outfit that's both tasteful and expensive. And another one had her lips and her cheeks and her eyes colored like an artist had painted a picture. And they both came out in tan on tan with makeup removed, just themselves now. Another woman goes in wearing a bikini and flip-flops. Another one goes in a pretty sundress. Another one in a Prada outfit. Another one wearing Versace. One in jeans and a t-shirt. And one after another, they all come out exactly the same. Rich and poor, black and white, brown and yellow, brilliant and slow, from technologically advanced societies to the simpler societies in our world. Tan coveralls, tan shirts, white socks, white canvas shoes, everyone alike, all standing on level ground before God. There is no difference, male or female, Jew or Greek. There is no difference with God. Everyone has the same universal need. All have sinned. All have been caught short. All have missed the mark. And we have no spiritual resources to fix it. We have no means to make it right. The Jews had the law but didn't keep it. The Gentiles had the general revelation of the patriarchal age in an orderly and beautiful world, but they didn't listen to what God said. Our sins vary. We have different sins. We all have different sins. There are what some might call soft sins, where it just has to do with our attitude. Maybe a selfish allegiance to me. Just, I'm focused on me. I don't care about you. Others are persistent weaknesses, addictions and habits. There are sins of purple passion. I'm talking violence, robbery, theft, assault, every kind of violence known to man. There are filthy sins that leave scars on not only the life of the sinner, but on those around them. There are then also some protests of no sin. No, I didn't sin. And this, of course, may be one of the greatest tests of God's grace and His patience, when people in pride claim that they did not sin. I don't know anything that drew more fire from Jesus than pride, spiritual pride. You see, no matter how old or young I am, no matter how rich or poor, no matter how educated or ignorant I may be, no matter where I shop, no matter how much I possess, it makes no difference how I may think I am different than other people. I am the same. We are all the same. We all have the same condition. We are all hopeless and helpless without Christ. All of us. All of us. Hitler proved this with the Jews in World War II, didn't he? Rich and poor, aristocratic and commoner, high society and socially dysfunctional, teachers and traders, scientists and secretaries. It mattered not who they were. All of them were stripped of their dignity and everything that they possessed. Their opinion of themselves did not make any difference, did it? All the money and the power that they thought was theirs was suddenly gone. And they were herded into cattle cars and shipped off to work and to die. And there was absolutely nothing that they could do about it. All on level ground. Well, that is just a small taste of what the world has coming one day, as we all stand before God on level ground to face judgment, to face either His wrath or His mercy, depending upon our relationship with Him. They were all on level ground, these Jews, and so are we. We all have a universal need because all have sinned and all stand condemned. But there is also a universal promise. God will be just, and sin will be punished. God is just. What does that mean? It means that the payment of sin is going to be paid. God is just. He is a merciful God, but first God is just. And His justice will not be ignored. And if you and I sin, and that sin is not forgiven, that sin is not covered by the blood of Jesus, we will pay for that sin ourselves. And we pay for that sin with eternal separation from God. That's how we pay. That's the only possible way that we can pay. Eternal separation from God. And so, God is going to punish sin. Now, there had been a pushing back on God's part, a delay of judgment on God's part. God was waiting for the perfect plan to come to fruition, the perfectly designed answer to man's need, Jesus. And as Paul says in Galatians, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son. The law had exposed everyone as lawbreakers. It revealed to God and to man, nobody's going to keep this law. 600 plus statutes and commandments to be observed, and no one, not even Moses, kept the entire law. No one. No, it had exposed the lawbreakers. It had exposed and revealed that if there was to be any hope of a reunion between God and men, it would be up to God. It would be up to God. Because man could not breach this gap. Man could not bring about this reunion, this reconciliation, because everyone had shown themselves to be lawbreakers. And each one would be responsible for the violations that they were guilty of. Excuse me. Only God had and has the necessary power to bring about reunion with man. God is just and He will punish the sin, but God is also merciful. In order to honor the nature of God, someone would have to pay. And that's why Jesus had to die. This is also evidence of His mercy. Yes, please, Gary, I'm choking here. Y'all remember me talking about popcorn and Coke? Remember me talking about that? I had some popcorn today and some tea. I should have had Coke because I've got a kernel or something stuck here and it's giving me a hard time. Excuse me. Here's the thing. There's a universal promise that God is going to punish sin. But there's also a universal promise that all things can be made right with God. You see, as I said, this hope comes from God Himself, and it comes to everyone. No distinction, no difference. Doesn't matter who you are, where you've been, or even what you've done. God offers salvation to all. He offers to the guilty forgiveness. And He offers that to everyone. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Matthew 11:28. John said, "The Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." Revelation 22:17. God has made a universal promise that salvation is offered to everyone. Whether you're wearing tan coveralls and a tan t-shirt with white cotton socks and white canvas shoes, or whether you're wearing Prada, Versace, or any of those other names that I can't pronounce. Doesn't matter. We all stand before God on level ground, all in need of His grace, His mercy, and the saving blood of Jesus. And so God came to make things right, and Jesus died on the cross to make it possible. You see, He is the means by which we come to God. Christ, by God's grace. Christ, by His blood. Christ, through saving faith in Him. That's what Paul is saying in Romans chapter 3. Christ, by God's grace. Galatians 2:21. "I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is died in vain." Righteousness does not come by the law. Christ is not died in vain. He has died for the salvation of lost man. He has died to redeem man to God, to reconcile man to God, to buy us back, to bring us back into a right relationship with God. Hebrews 2:9, we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Tan coveralls, tan t-shirt, white cotton socks, white canvas shoes. Here we are, all of us, standing before God, and Jesus died for every single one of us, no matter who we may be. And it's by His precious blood. Christ, by His precious blood. You know, I want to read a passage in 1 Peter 1, verse 18, 19. And then I want you to listen carefully to what I'm going to say about it. In our life, we work hard to provide for our families, to prepare for the day when we are not able to work anymore, to prepare for a time when we need to relax more, when we cannot handle the stresses of the day-to-day work world. And so we try to set something back. We try to save and prepare for a day of retirement, for a day when we can no longer handle the rigors of a day-to-day work, a day-to-day job that makes such demands on us. We try to do this, and that's to be commended. It's not in any way a condemnation of that or a criticism of that. That is to be commended, and it is upstanding that we would try to prepare for our future so that we're not a burden on our children or our society. So this is a commendable thing. But with this sometimes comes a smugness, an arrogance, a self-reliance, an attitude that can be detrimental and destructive to us. In 1 Peter 1, 18, 19, "For as much as we know, or as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, you were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." There are records of rich Jewish bankers and businessmen, very wealthy people, who did everything they could to bribe the Nazis, to leave them alone and let them and their families escape. And it didn't work. It didn't work. It would not save them. Their money would not save them. I woke up the other day thinking about the movie Schindler's List. It was a haunting movie. I don't recommend it. Unless you are truly a student of history, and unless you truly have a strong stomach, I do not recommend this movie. Never let children, ever let children watch this thing. It is too real. It is too real. There are two movies that I have watched in my life that I wish I never saw. I wish I'd never seen them. The Passion of the Christ and Schindler's List. Both of them stunning depictions of reality. Both of them excellent movies in their own right. But they're so disturbing. They're so upsetting. This depiction of what these Jews went through, just thinking about that, it helped me get my mind around this lesson. We can't buy our way out of condemnation. We cannot earn our way out of God's judgment, out of God's wrath. We cannot do anything to be worthy to deserve it. And even if we've lived faithfully in the Lord's church for 55 or 60 years and we've served God with all of our energy and all of our strength and we have dedicated our life and our money and our children's lives and everything that we own, dedicated it to do good and do no harm, even if we have taught the world who Jesus is, we still cannot buy our salvation. There's nothing that we can do to elevate ourselves from everyone else in this world. We all stand on level ground before the Lord. All of us desperately in need of His grace and His mercy. We can't fix this ourselves. We depend on Him. Now, it's hard on us to admit that. It's hard on us to admit that we have to depend upon God. We'd like to be able to take care of it ourselves. I kind of picture myself as a finished carpenter. I'm not good at it. I'd starve to death if I did it because I'm not fast. I'm so slow that, well, I can watch flowers grow as fast as I can, cut a 45-degree angle. But I really enjoy that kind of work, but I'm slow. I'm terribly slow at it. But I picture myself as a finished carpenter, and I work on something, and I try to do as good a job on it as I can, and I still see flaws. I still see mistakes that I've made. But you know, when you get right down to it, I am 62 years old. I can't do the stuff I used to do, including remember where I was going with that point. I had a reason for that, and it was good. And I can't remember what it was. There's nothing, no skill, no talent, no amount of wisdom, no amount of good work, no amount of faithfulness that we can do that will influence God for us to make us more valuable to God than someone else. We're all wearing tan coveralls. No matter if we've been in Christ for 60 years, we're all wearing tan t-shirts. We're all wearing white cotton socks and white canvas shoes. We all stand with God, before God, with every other person on this planet. And God will judge us on whether or not, based on whether or not we are covered by the blood of His Son. That's the only difference. The only difference between me and anybody else on this planet is, am I covered by the blood of God's Son or am I not? That's the only difference. Sometimes we pride ourselves in our individuality. Sometimes we pride ourselves in our accomplishments or our wisdom or intellect. But we are no different than anyone else. We need to realize that fact, brethren. It is through faith in Christ that we will be saved. John chapter 5, verse 24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Do you have a saving faith in Jesus Christ? If you believe in Jesus enough to do what He says, you have a saving faith. So do it. Obey His commandments. You believe in Him, then you have to repent. If you don't repent, you don't believe. And you have to confess your faith in Him. And if you don't confess, then you don't believe. And then you have to be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins. And if you're not willing to do that, you don't believe. And you will not be saved. You will stand with everyone else, unshielded, unprotected, uncovered, condemned, if we're not washed in the blood of Christ, if we don't have this saving faith in Him. So, where is boasting? Romans 3:27. Where is boasting? There isn't any. I am made to lay my accomplishments alongside those of Jesus Christ Himself. What have I done compared to what He has done? Huh? What have I done? I'm not allowed to lay my accomplishments next to you or you next to mine. But I have to lay my accomplishments and what I've managed to do in my service for God, I have to lay those alongside of Jesus Christ. He is the measure. We're not to measure among ourselves. He is the measure. What have you done? More than He. Where is boasting then? There is no room for boasting. And then hear the challenge from the Lord Himself. Now brag. Now brag about what you've done. After you consider what Jesus did for you, now brag. But I stand there in a tan outfit, just like everyone else. I love the song, "Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my Lord. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to His blood. All have sinned. All must deal with a just God. All can have grace through Christ." All of us can. Everyone can if they will obey Him in faith. As you consider your life and your relationship with God, if there's anything standing between you and the Lord tonight, you need to deal with it. You don't need to wait, because if you wait, it may be too late. It may be too late. So my encouragement to you is, if you're not a Christian, obey the gospel before it's too late. If you're already one of His people, but you've not been faithful to Him, rededicate your life to Him today, right now, before it's too late. Make things right with God while you can. If you need to come, come now as we stand and sing.